Reading today is from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 12, and the page numbers are on the screen. So Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 12, and it's Peter and John before the council. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed we done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved."
Good morning all, and welcome to a celebration with some distinct features. Car keys, just in case that belongs to anybody, that's I'll leave them there. Yes. Thanks, Sonia, for taking on the arc and the narrative and involving people. And I felt we're all involved. Enjoyed that? That's good. I'll try and connect that into the message time. You'll notice there's probably a little bit of difference between the story of Noah and the Ark and the Acts passage, but I'll try and make a connection in a minute or two. Let's give thanks. Father, we do again just give thanks that as a people we have gathered to worship. And Father, we understand that a part of our gathering is very much about the faith side of things, that relationship with you is possible by the working of your grace and faith that you've put in our hearts. And Lord, we just want to see that connectedness between that which we've heard and that which we've celebrated, and appreciating the depth of our relationship with you would be on the increase because of our time contributed to by the time that we spend together this morning. So we do just give you thanks for all that you've done already and for that which you'll continue to do through the moments we spend in the witness of your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. I am often asked about the cryptic nature of the themes that I use on a Sunday. And I readily confess that often they are cryptic. People take a while to work them out because, believe it or not, some of them come out of my head. And that's going to confuse you no end. Because what's the things that I'm working through in my mind sometimes just aren't a perfect match to what you're thinking. Like even now, you're thinking, what on earth is he talking about? How I chose this theme came as a result of watching a commercial for Uber Eats. I don't know if you've heard of Uber Eats. Have you heard of those? You can order a meal online, on the phone, whatever, ring it in, and most convenient, this delicious food's delivered to your door. It's quite an amazing provision in many ways. In actual fact, there's a whole industry building around it that you don't have just Uber Eats. You have Menulog and Deliveroo and a number of other sort of service providers that are looking to make your life and my life as special and as convenient as possible. And that's good, isn't it? I'll give you time to think about it. Because if I think that's good, I'm going to have tension with my faith. Because faith isn't about convenience. It isn't about God serving up stuff so that I can have the most comfortable and enjoyable and unhassled life possible. Now, for those who are joining us this morning for the first time, I need to recap a couple of things from last Sunday, because what I'd like to do over the next few weeks is actually look at this whole thing of faith, particularly the Christian faith, and look at some of the dynamic of it, unpack some of that, and see, explore some of the ways that that faith might work. I can't script for you how your faith will work. I can't say to you, have faith like Noah and God will get you building a boat. I can't script that for you. But I can say to you that faith, as a grace working of God in your life, will allow you to hook into, link into God's faithfulness. And he will work a work in you that is unique, very personal, and very much got the detail that suits, as it were, is fitted to your very life journey. But I do unpack this concept, this reality, this experience of faith quite deliberately in order that maybe together we discover more of what this faith thing actually does. That God does actually deliver on his faithfulness. I can get excited about when I hear this beautiful, amplified, detailed, personal, adaptable experience of Noah this morning and say, what does that say to me about a real relationship with God? And I'm putting before you this morning that truth, that reality that God delivers on his faithfulness. And so we take that back the other way, and I discover that in my earthly journey of trust in the living Lord Jesus, that he delivers. Last Sunday morning, we looked at these two particular passages. In actual fact, they were the reference point that started 2 weeks ago when Alex was with us. And these two little scripts coming out of the letter that Jude wrote to a small Christian community that he had connected with. And he says, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, our common relationship with Jesus, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for your faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. To actually contend for your faith, stand up for your faith, work out your faith in a way that people will actually challenge you about who you are and what you're on about. See, many people have come to me and spoken about the fact that, hey, you don't expect me to speak about my faith because it's a very personal thing. And I say to them, you've got to wrestle with the Word of God, because the Word of God says, you've got to let people see it. Let people hear it. Now, there's some people probably squirming a little in your seat this morning, but I'll say it to you straight. What does that passage in Jude actually say? Contend for your faith. Put it out there. Let people see it. Let's go back to Uber Eats, because that's much more comfortable. Somebody serve up to me a little measure of Jesus each Sunday and I'll be comfortable. And Jesus says, after that was not what I was on about. When I ask you to follow me, I want you to take on board the things I'm speaking into your life, work with that stuff, and let people see it. Let people hear it. How we go? All good? You want to go back to Uber Eats? You just punch in Uber Eats. You can go for it. You want faith, you're going to have to work at it. Because that was the other passage that came out of that short letter to Jude. And he said to them, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith. So who's responsible for your faith? Thanks. John's taking on board all of yours. No, he's not. John's taking on board John's journey. Too many. How many Peters in the room? Just me? Good. But the point being that this relationship with Jesus, this faith relationship with Jesus that you have, is your responsibility to build. I can contribute to part of that, because that's the shared journey of the community that we're a part of. That's why we're here this morning. In some expression, a part of the reason why we're here this morning is that we actually build each other up in faith. All right? So I'll hear a little bit about your faith journey, or you'll be chatting to somebody about your relationship with the Lord and something that's happened in these last few days, or something that you're looking forward to, and that will in some way work to the building up of your faith. But you're ready to venture out there. Speak a little bit of your faith. Show a little bit of your faith. And allow it to be built all the time. So you can take away this morning a little bit of archaeology. You know, it's in your head now. You're going to be pressed to get rid of that now. So Lord told Noah to build him an archaeology. It's stuck in your head now. We started singing that song, and we used to have a ministry at Warrnambool with kids in the commission area of Warrnambool. And we actually used that song. So it's been around for a little while, and it's a good one. It's a good one to get people involved. And I could actually hear somebody, I don't know who it was, but it was just to let you know you're out of rhythm. Even I can tell sometimes when you're out of rhythm, you know. But it's a really good one. And I decided with this activity, with this kids program, that we might build an ark. So I did my research of what the ark would look like, and designed a model that would be, and it was made out of ice cream sticks. You know, gopher wood. That's as close as I could get to gopher wood. And we built the ark, and would you believe it was as big as the communion table? Because you've got a lot of kids to keep occupied. See, so you need a lot of ice cream sticks. We didn't provide the ice creams with the ice cream sticks. They were just ice cream sticks. And it was amazing how we were there in that ministry for a number of years, and the kids still talked about, where's the ark? So, and I'm sure they've still got in their head, archy, whatever. But these things, little things as our songs, activities, children's involvement with our involvement with puppets and toys and all those types of things, are a part of this great venture of actually building our own faith. And for those who would like to sort of have a further stretch of your faith, I'm going to go back to the simplest definition that Scripture gives of faith. And it says, as you can see on the screen now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, I'm sure you've had a whole variety of definitions given, possibly from a situation such as this, where a person's actually speaking it out. But I just encourage people to just sit with that simple definition and see where it takes you. Because sometimes we'll pick up a definition like that and say, I understand what faith is. No, you don't. You've just heard a definition. That's all you've heard. Because when you define something, then you've got to discover, how does it work? That's the definition. How does it work? Because faith is not an abstract chair. It's a living dynamic. So we're getting, hey, all right. So I've got a bit of an understanding of how it works. Now, for example, this presentation that we've seen this morning. Now, I know for a fact, over the years, many people have challenged that event and say, did it really happen? You've ever put your faith out there? It's a really interesting thing to do. You know, the Scripture describes this powerful event that impacted the entire creation, and we sort of say, yeah. Do I believe that? Do I believe that happened? See, some of you got some questions. I know. I have questions. Did it really happen? Well, if you want a bit of a hand, there's a ministry that's developed around some of these things that are challenged about the Christian faith. The credibility of the Word, the history of the Word of God, and those types of things. And there's a ministry that's actually developed. Now, Jeff here can help you out on that, can't you, Jeff?
Too right.
Too right, there you go. Which is another way of saying yes. The amplified version thereof. But the creation ministries have set about, and we had the opportunity, Jeff and Lyle and I think, went across to Murray Bridge for a men's breakfast back in October, I think it was, last year. There's a fellow who is a scientist by profession, and he'd actually come to faith by exploring that narrative. He said, did it really happen? And he says, I'm absolutely convinced it happened. And that's how my faith started. Isn't that interesting? You know, some of the things we just put aside and say, I've got my questions. And a scientist sets to work and he travels all over the world. He's multi-degreed and all that sort of stuff. And he says, I just can't get away from it. Now, if you want to explore that, feel free to do that. There's the website. If you want to look at a couple of their magazines that come out on a monthly basis, I'll lend you one of mine. I subscribe to their literature. Sometimes when I'm reading it, I do need a dictionary next to me because the words they use, I'll never clue what the words mean. So I'm actually developing my vocabulary even as I'm experiencing a faith exercise in many ways. So I just commend that one to you. Now, I did mention before, how am I going to connect... thanks again, Sonia. That's just good fun, isn't it? And I'm sorry, Noah, but I can't use your beard. It's just not a match. Right? Yeah, good. I'm glad I got out of that one. To connect that portrayal with the passage that Bronwyn read from Acts chapter 4. And what I'm using as the link term is that term from Jude where it talks about being ready to contend for the faith. In other words, step up, put it out there, and work with what happens. Rather than thinking, yes, I can do a relationship with Jesus personally and privately, and nobody needs to know. I wrestle with that one. And you can wrestle with it as well. Just see, is that a match to the way that Jesus spoke to his disciples? I think Gail mentioned a little bit earlier how she was admiring the disciples and how they did it. They put it out there. What they knew, what they were beginning to comprehend, they just put it out there. And often by this readiness to interact, to engage, to risk, as it were, in that fashion, we actually discover the exercise of faith building. Otherwise, it stays within the comfortable zone of our own thoughts, which means that possibly our faith will become very soft. It won't be strengthened by the exercise of contending. And so we find the disciples in this amazing space where they're beginning to, as it were, venture in their relationship with Jesus by faith. Now, one of the things you and I know that is unique about the disciples was they did actually see with their own physical eyes the risen Lord Jesus. And that was their starting point. Now, not too many of us in this generation have seen Jesus with our physical eyes. But we do have, as it were, this wonderful provision that he's made for us to see the evidence, to hear the narrative, to hear the script of his earthly journey and take note of that. We have this opportunity to as it were, explore the pages of Scripture, particularly in the context of what we know as the New Testament. For that particular script gives us an idea of what might be a part of our personal journey, what might be a part of our shared journey of faith. Now, some of you might recognise that that is the mission statement of the Victor Harbour Church of Christ. You've heard it before, possibly? Yeah, it's quite an extensive mission statement. But the little bit that I like is the bit that's sort of three or four lines down. You can see it there. It says, thriving on the implementation of New Testament Christianity in ways that are accessible, attractive, and make sense to the people. I love it when somebody else writes a script and I can think, I like the way that put that. In the sense, I want to explore the pages that describe the original event, and that's what I want to go with. When I became a Christian, one of the things I was very, very conscious of, I said, Lord, I just want what's real. I want the real stuff. I don't want to play church. I want the real stuff. And the Lord's honored that. That's still there. I just want that which is real. I want the stuff that works in changing my life. I want the stuff that works in changing the lives of others. Because that's what Jesus was about. And that change implemented, instigated, triggered by a recognition of who he is. By faith that says, I can't see the full picture, but I can see enough to realize, to conclude, you are real. And I want to know the reality of who you are in every dimension of my life. And that's what happened for these disciples. They were drawn into this recognition of Jesus. And as I said before, they were in the privileged position of actually seeing the risen Lord Jesus. I have met the risen Lord Jesus by faith, not by sight. In the sense of glasses and eyes. I've not seen him. But by faith I can see him. He's made that wonderful provision. Fortunately for me, the disciples did see the risen Lord Jesus with their eyes, and they were able to describe in detail, particularly one of the two that was spoken about this morning, the Apostle John, wrote extensively, not only of the things that he saw that were happening with what Jesus was doing, but John had this amazing God-given capacity to actually see through what Jesus was doing to who he was as the Son of God. That's an amazing insight. And it's one of the ones that you can honestly pray for. Lord, I want to see who you are. Not just run with the label of following you. I want to see who you are. That would be a particular aspect of our faith relationship with the Lord Jesus. Because I can actually become a Christian and then run with a ritual. I can run with a routine. I can run with a community of people who believe the same things. But are we seeing the risen Lord Jesus? It's because that's what faith is. It's actually, I can see by faith the risen Lord Jesus. And that's what was inspiring the apostles, Peter and John, in this first context where we see a description of someone contending for putting their faith out there. They were proclaiming, they were speaking pretty well anywhere and everywhere they had the opportunity of the fact that they had seen the risen Lord Jesus. And the moment they started to do that, they experienced what we would call as pushback. People who did not want to hear. It wasn't a match to who they were. It wasn't a match to their understanding of God or life or anything. So there was pushback. And for these two disciples in particular, that pushback became very, very uncomfortable. And I won't go into the narrative there, simply to highlight the fact that as quickly as we might see something of the Lord Jesus, that we might be prepared, as it were, to step out and begin to contend for our faith, get that feedback from other people, we will find some of that feedback is actually pushback. It will be an attempt to close down that which you've spoken out or lived out or acted out or whatever it is, whatever way you've put your faith out there.
And we do well to be prepared for that. There'll be time when we discover that people are very, very interested in what we're saying and prepared to engage, not just in conversation, but a genuine searching. Because they discover something in what you're saying and who you are and how you're presenting that allows them to feel, I'm prepared to hear more of who you are and what you're saying about this person, Jesus. One of the great ventures of pastoral ministry is actually getting to know people and find the space where we can talk about our faith with one another. And I sometimes discover that I have to be very, very disciplined. I'm genuinely interested in your personal life journey. I'm particularly interested in how your faith is going. And if we can talk about your relationship with Jesus in a way that is genuine for you and real in the context that we share as a Christian community, we will begin to experience more and more of that building process. So last Sunday, just let me connect a little bit more to what I'd like to share with you this morning. Last Sunday, we looked at the beginning of faith, how we might begin in our faith journey. So whether it was by heritage or by searching or a sense of dissatisfaction, unsettledness with life, maybe we were confronted, whatever it was. I'm not going to go back through that because that took me 40 minutes last week and I'm sure you don't need a double shot on that one. But yeah, we begin in faith from all variety of places and a whole variety of measures. Some people step into a relationship with Jesus with a good mouthful, with a good sort of, they've taken on board a whole lot. And it sort of really gets them moving. Others just taste, just a little morsel. And sometimes it's enough. It's just enough to actually establish a genuine hunger for the things of the Lord. We come from a variety of beginning places and measures of faith. But the journey begins. I read an article during the week by Douglas Winnell. And the article was drawn, How Do I Build a Real Faith? I love the question because, as I shared with you a moment ago, one of the things that was very much a part of my starting journey as a Christian was that, Lord, I just want what's real. I want the stuff that works in changing my life and changing the lives of others. And so I like this question that Douglas asks. And it's a great question. I want to leave it with you as well. How do you build a real faith? Now, I can set you on a journey because I know for a fact, just for example, going back to our portrayal this morning of the Noah event and the ark and the flood and all that sort of stuff, wrestle with it. It's going to stretch your faith. You know, obviously it did for Noah. Obviously it did for that generation. And there are certain things in there that will just keep stretching your faith. Not so, and here's something that I do qualify. Not so much that I believe the narrative, the script, the storyline, but I believe who's behind it. You see the difference? That's important. Because I can tell you a lot of things that I believe as a Christian that would be factual, that would be part of the head file, would be part of the life gathered information and data and experiences that are inside of me. But I love it with the Apostle Paul as he comes towards the end of his ministry, a very learned man, a very academic man, a man well-versed in the Old Testament and the Torah and the Jewish traditions and all that sort of stuff. And his conclusion toward the end of his ministry, he says, I know whom I have believed. So if you're looking to find out what you believe, if it's a match to who you believe, prepare yourself for a great venture. the great venture of faith. The great venture of faith, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he rose from the dead. I believe that he is the exalted one and is now seated at the right hand of God. Does that sound good? That sounds biblical, doesn't it? That's good, solid foundation. Now, do I know the power of his resurrection? Because the power of his resurrection will push me, literally, it will compel me into that space of building my faith, searching out how does my faith work. It will put me in these places where I'm actually contending for my faith. Okay with that? All right, I want to toss in four or five things this morning before we finish up. And these are brief. Sorry, that's not a word I should use because it hardly ever is. But these are just five things that sit inside of me that are a part of my building my own faith. Okay, number one. Enjoy creation. I mentioned before Creation Ministries. I was first introduced to the Creation Ministries with this sort of punchline. You can't be a real Christian unless you believe that God created in 6 days. Now, I wrestle with that because I wasn't there and I didn't have my digital watch set for timeline and all that sort of stuff. But I'll let my learned friends pursue how they present that. Just for the moment, I think I'll enjoy creation. It's an amazing thing. I mentioned to you last Sunday there was a group that met for prayer over the city on the side of the bluff. If you just want to visit that space again, do your own praying, feel free to do it. But you stand there and look at this. Victor Harbour is one of those places that people from the ends of the earth will literally travel hours and hours and hours to come and see Victor Harbour. Did you know that? Margie and I had a little walk over to the island just early evening last night while the test match was going on in the backyard. And I'm amazed. You walk across there, people from the subcontinent, the Middle East. It really was, I could walk around there and say, where are all the Caucasians? Have they? Oh, I know what, they're at home watching television. Isn't that a trade in downwards? When you can walk around the island twice a week, if you want to join Colin and Jean. Twice a week, isn't it cool? Twice a week. Circumnavigate the island. Enjoy creation. I said I was going to be brief, so that was obviously an amplified version of that one. The other one that I share with you this morning is appreciate that faith is a mechanism that God installs so that I can know him. That's what faith is about. So as I can know that relationship, it is actually working again. It is in place. I trusted Jesus with my simple faith a number of years ago, and I've discovered that it actually works. He delivers. I can actually know. I can experience God. I can see more of what he's doing. I can appreciate more of what he's doing because of the faith, that little faith mechanism that he reinstalled. I'll open that up a little bit further down the track. Number three this morning that I share with you is to recognise that even in the genuineness of our own faith, we will still humanly work with this experience, this doubt. And again, I'm not going to open it up, but just to illustrate as best I can. All right, I'm always looking for something that might illustrate. People here have got a bedside radio. Got an alarm system on it? Okay, so you punch the button at night when you're just sort of starting to recline and think, you know, it's quarter to three in the morning, it's probably time I went to sleep. I'll listen to the radio for a few moments. So I do that. I go in, I turn the radio on, a little bit of interesting conversation going on about the latest BMW, I think it was the other night. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm always challenged to multitask. So I thought I'll turn the bed lamp on as well, because Margie's all bed light's already on, so as it's ready for her reading exercise in a few moments. I'll turn the bed lamp on as well. It's really annoying, isn't it, when the bed lamp and the radio don't match. So you're listening to the radio and all of a sudden you're... Where's that from? I turn the bed lamp off and I can hear the radio clear as a whistle. Well, my little illustration is a genuine attempt to say sometimes we can be listening loud and clear and something else might interfere. Static, can't hear so clearly. And sometimes it is doubt. And we have to deal with doubt. Doubt has to be dealt with. And doubt can be a creative thing or it can be a compromise thing. Cause us to shift away our focus. Anyway, so I'll open that up another day as well because it is a genuine part of our faith. Number four, please note, take as many notes as you possibly can on the words of Jesus. This is fundamental to the Christian faith. I take a lot of notice. Ample, plenty notice of what Jesus says. From right the very beginning of his public ministry, it was recognized that people were attracted to what he was saying. Why? And there was a group that was challenged on that, and they came back and said, well, what he says makes sense. What he says is life. It works. I've discovered it's actually working already, and I haven't fully recognized who he is. So that's why I take notes on the words of Jesus. And that's a very deliberate exercise for each and every one of us. Okay, so here we go. Just a quick little recap. So we've got one, enjoy creation. Appreciate that faith is a God gift installed to reconnect us with God. Recognizing that there will be this challenge from time to time. Some of the questionings that we have to deal with. And then that last one of keep taking note of the words of Jesus. And then finally this morning is just experience the sight that faith actually gives. Now there is a scripture that says we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And that's true, but also faith gives us sight. We see things that we've never seen before. We hear things that we've never heard before. We are able to comprehend things that we thought I can't understand that, it doesn't make sense, but literally it is the grace of God and the faithfulness of God that allows us to actually see things. We see God's handiwork. We see the character of God. We see God working in people's lives. We can see the change happening in our own lives. Things that we'd perhaps never seen before, never thought we would see. But they are there because faith delivers. Connected to the faithfulness of God, faith delivers. Once the connection is made, we are in the process, we're in this happening of discovering that faith is something for me to contribute to build. It's something for me to exercise and go into spaces where maybe I contend for my faith. I'm not just defending it. I'm putting it out there so that people maybe have to deal with something they've never dealt with before because I'm able to carry a testimony that is true to my relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious Father, once again, we just give you thanks for the place of being gathered. For the place of sharing this venture of faith and working out what it means for us personally and also as a community. We bless you and thank you, Father, for the things that you've installed this morning, that you've put into the place of our faith connections, the things that you've spoken into our lives, shown us, allowed us to catch a glimpse of whatever it is. But Father, most of all, we just say thank you. That you are faithful. You are true to who you are. You are true to your plans. And that beautiful plan that you have already in operation is you want us in a personal relationship with you. Fully appreciating and comprehending an experience every measure of creation life that you have for each and every one of us. And we bless you and thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.